You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
For some people, getting 1 year older is discouraging, but for others, every new year brings more hope and more joy.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
O God of love and God of grace, teach us to number our days. Grant all believers, by unwavering faith in Jesus Christ, the blessed assurance of the freedom from the fear of death. By thy gracious gift of faith, O Lord, clarify our spiritual vision. Enable us to see clearly the crucifixion cross, and hold always before our sin-dimmed eyes the life-giving resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray, amen. One of the world's smallest countries, Tibet, is located in South Central Asia between India and China. Its beautiful snow-covered mountains and windswept plateaus are the highest in the world. In fact, this country is often called the roof of the world. And the wonderful people of this quaint country possess a driving desire to be religious. They turn prayer wheels. They recite prayers openly in the streets. The rich have chapels and shrines in their homes. Their religion is indeed intense, but they also practice one of the most bizarre funeral and burial ceremonies of any culture. This is what takes place. As soon as a family member dies, the body of the deceased is shrouded in white silk. At dawn, the corpse is taken to a large rock high up in the mountains. Relatives and friends gather. Special guards are posted to chase away curious onlookers. Then, when all is settled and in order, the family members sit around sipping tea. The body is unwrapped. It is placed on a large rock, and next, using sharp cutting instruments, the corpse is carved into parts. The bones are then ground up, and they are mixed with barley. A fire is built, and barley is also thrown onto the flames. Fragrant smoke floats skyward, and the billowing smoke attracts vultures from their mountain nests. These carrion-consuming birds begin to circle overhead, and they swoop down. First they go for the barley bone meal, and then for the fleshy human remains. And when the birds have picked the bones clean, only then do the relatives believe that the soul of their loved one is free. They believe that the soul can then return to earth in a higher incarnation. The public burial rites of Christians are obviously not as bizarre as the Tibetan ceremonies. However, honesty forces us to admit that the physical remains, even of Christians who are buried, certainly decompose. Simply stated, dead human bodies rot. For it is as God said it would be when He spoke to Adam. At the time of the fall into sin in the Garden of Eden, God said, "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." God is also saying this to every man and woman and child of our generation. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. We may try to deny it. We may fight it. We may try to use our utmost sophisticated technology to prevent it. But it is inevitable. Whether rapidly or slowly, our bodies, yours and mine, will decompose. In the Old Testament, the Bible records the words of Job, a man of God, who said that the skin worms will destroy our flesh. Actually, the destruction of our bodies begins long before death. Physiologists tell us that after the age of 25 or 26, we are already going downhill physically. Honestly, confronting this sobering fact can be upsetting. Getting older and wondering about what will happen to our bodies when we die is not very encouraging or comforting. In fact, in a society which has made youth and beauty its god, the prospect of old age can actually be depressing. You and I indeed need hope. We need the positive, death-defeating, and life-guaranteeing resurrection promises of the Bible. This hope is what God has revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is what we read, and I quote, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Physically, outwardly, we indeed deteriorate. Our skin dries up, our muscles atrophy, and our bones become brittle. But inwardly, through the power of Jesus Christ, we can be renewed and given a certain hope." St. Paul did not say this because he trusted in the power of man-centered positive thinking. No, St. Paul believed and trusted in the transforming and the life-giving words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Yes, it is no wonder that St. Paul, as he wrote to the Philippians, joyfully and confidently confessed, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." St. Paul continued by saying that the Savior, and I quote, "will transform the body of our humble shape into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself." Oh no, you and I need not wait to have our bones picked clean by vultures. You and I have a definite and reliable eternal hope as we by faith eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This Savior will transform the bodies of all believers into conformity with his abiding glory. The fear of aging is indeed now, even for people in their late 20s and 30s, a growing paranoia. For over 50 years, Marlene Dietrich was a beautiful actress and film star. She was the sleepy, blue-eyed blonde that served as a powerful box office attraction for many years. Yet, as she got older, she became increasingly disturbed. One interviewer said, "Dietrich has had difficulty accepting the fact that all people, rich or poor, famous or not, grow old and look it." A fellow actor explained it this way, and I quote, "Marlene Dietrich's reputation was built on her beauty. I think," he said, "she wants people to remember her as she was and not as an elderly woman. Some people become obsessed with their desire not to grow old, and they want to remain in this life forever. And for those like this who have no anchor in the certainty of the Savior and no assurance of a heavenly home, their anxiety and fear is totally understandable." The great reformer Martin Luther, however, looked at this concern in another way. He was extremely positive. Martin Luther unhesitatingly stated that he did not want to live as long as some of the great patriarchs of the Old Testament times. After considering Adam, who lived 930 years, and Noah, who lived 950 years, and Methuselah, who lived 969 years, Martin Luther was not envious. Seeing all the problems and the struggles and challenges on this side of heaven, Luther expressed his desire to leave this earth and to go to a better place, paradise itself. This heavenly home is described by St. Paul as a beautiful, eternal city, a place not made with human hands. This is indeed, as the Bible says, the New Jerusalem, the city of God. Nearly 2 years ago, Newsweek magazine carried a feature story titled Growing Old and Feeling Young. The astute author stated, and I quote, that growing old holds terror for most people. But then he added, thanks to medical advances and a new network of services, the elderly now lead comfortable lives. Oh yes, it may be true that steps are being taken to make the years of growing old and retirement more comfortable. Even then, however, the question which consciously and unconsciously nags millions today is still not settled. It was raised by Job many centuries ago. Job asked, if a man dies, will he live again? The answer, of course, is yes. Jesus said that all people, believers and unbelievers alike, will be raised from the dead on the last day. But Jesus also made a distinction. Only those who have trusted in His divine redeeming power, only those who have turned from their sins, and only those who have trusted in His sin-cleansing blood will be welcomed to the mansions of heaven. Shortly before Jesus died on the cross, He turned to one of the two criminals crucified with Him. To the believing and forgiven malefactor, Jesus said, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." These same words of certainty, these same words of hope can be planted and graciously grow in your heart today. Even though your outward physical appearance is wasting away, the promises of hope and certainty spoken by the merciful Savior have the supernatural power to renew you within. They can serve as your anchor for your restless soul. Yes, let the wonderful resurrection promises of Jesus drive away all fears of aging and death. When Jesus died on the cross, His enemies thought that they had won. When His body was placed in the cold grave, it appeared, at least at first, that sin and the devil and even death itself had gotten the upper hand. Only 3 days later, however, it was publicly demonstrated that the tables had been dramatically and totally turned. On Easter morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, from His cold tomb of tears, burst the chains of sin and death. Yes, Jesus Christ rose victoriously from the grave. Oh, indeed, it was the glorious knowledge of this dramatic, historical, and death-defeating event that enabled St. Paul to confidently say, "Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God," St. Paul said, "who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Ladies and gentlemen, this day may find you in a hospital bed, confined and not being able to move around, or you may be in a special hospital ward, living out the final hours of your life. The rest home or the retirement home may now be your limited living quarters. Privately, you are perhaps wondering or even worrying how everything is going to end up. Maybe even you are a teenager and you are uncertain today at this hour about your future. If any of these fears or concerns are now nagging at your mind or heart, then give them over completely to your loving and forgiving Savior. Rest securely every hour on God's promises, the promises that are recorded for you in the Holy Bible. The Holy Scriptures clearly teach that you have a special friend. He sympathizes with you. This special friend of yours, Jesus Christ, understands completely what you are going through at this hour. Yes, Jesus wants to shoulder your burdens for you. Jesus is your Savior, and Jesus wants to take your worries from you. He desires to give you the peace and the assurance that only He, the divine Son of God, can give. This Jesus is the one who has defeated sin, the one who has defeated death and the devil. And this Jesus is the one who is asking you to come to Him. Jesus wants you to turn away from all your earthly concerns, and He wants you to follow Him obediently by faith. Ladies and gentlemen and young people, the hour for all of us is late. We can look at life as if it were a time clock. If you were just a baby, it would be 6 o'clock in the morning and time to get up. If you are now in the 8th grade, it would be 9 o'clock in the morning. If you are 25 years of age, it is high noon. And if you are 50 years of age, it is 6 o'clock in the evening and getting late. If you are 60, it is 9 in the evening and rapidly going on 10. And if you are 70 years old, the final bell of the midnight hour and the end of life is rapidly approaching. And so, by the power and urged on by the grace and the love of God, may I ask you, what is preventing you at this hour from giving up your sin and turning away from the things of this world? What could cause anyone to choose a world-centered life of uncertainty over an existence of peace and heavenly confidence anchored in the crucified and resurrected Jesus? Let us all take seriously the inspired words of the prophet Isaiah, who gave this message from God, and I quote, "At the acceptable time, I, the Lord, listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold," God says, "behold, now is the acceptable time, and now is the day of salvation. Turn away from the things of this world, and give up your sin, and trust only in the blessed Redeemer, your resurrected Savior and Lord. Amen."